making known the riches of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
As always, we're very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We would like to remind you that we are a listener-supported program, and if these programs have been a blessing to you over the years and you have gleaned the truth of God's Word and grown in that Word, we ask that you would support us both prayerfully and financially. Any tax-free donations will go to the full support of bringing these broadcasts to you. So thank you in advance. You could write to us at P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or you can go to our website at www.agradio.org. Again, that's our brand new website. Check it out, agradio.org. Well, this week on Abounding Grace, we're going to go back to the book of 1 Samuel. And I really enjoy studying 1 Samuel. It's such an interesting time in Israel's history. There's so much that is applicable for the Christian today. And I guess thinking about this is a very strange section here in 1 Samuel chapter 6. That's the chapter we're working through this week. But to begin with, and kind of set the scene, set the stage before we open this up, I always thought it tragic that R.C. Sproul even had to write a book titled Safe From What? It's been Sproul's painful contention that most Christians can't even answer that basic fundamental question of the Christian faith. What are you saved from? In fact, it was the White Horse Inn that did an interview at a book conference for Christians, and they interviewed many Christians who had attended this conference, and they interviewed them about what the gospel is, and it was tragic that of the hundreds they interviewed, only one or two got it right. This is a sad tragedy that's happened in the church, that we don't know theology. We don't know the basics of Christian theology. We can't even answer what the gospel is. And so we've got to go back to the fundamentals. Christianity is a religion of the book. Years ago, the Heidelberg Catechism posed a question. And one of the question answers that were given to provide a whole series of doctrines, a whole series of study in 1 year of the major crucial doctrines of the Christian faith. And this was the question: if we deserve God's punishment according to righteous judgment, both now and in eternity, how then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? Isn't that the question? What are you safe from? What do you need to be saved from? We're all in a bad situation, and how do we escape the wrath to come? See, what makes Christianity different from every other world religion is that it declares that no mere creature can do it. We need a mediator. We need a perfect mediator. We need one who is like us in all ways, yet is true God. And we confess the wonderful truth of Christianity is that this very need is met in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who is true God. The dilemma here this week on Abounding Grace that I'm really working through, I'm going to show you in this passage in 1 Samuel 6, is what happens when we forget that this is the basis of God's acceptance of us? What does it look like when there's no understanding of this doctrine anymore among God's people? In other words, what happens when there's no understanding of how a sinner can be right with God? What begins to happen? There's one question in 1 Samuel 6 that shows the consequences of forgetting what the price of our redemption is. Listen to verse 20. Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? That's the question that I'm unpacking this week. Israel had completely forgotten how one is able to stand before the supremely holy, just, pure, righteous God who must judge sin. And the loss of any understanding of God's holiness in Israel was evidence that they had lost an understanding of what they needed for God to dwell among his people. And so am I so often saying that the greatest need today in the Christian church is an understanding of God's holiness, his transcendence, his greatness, his justice? You know I'm not so off in suggesting that. The way that's recovered is to again consider what God had to do to his son that we might be able to be here and listen today and know that God has come to us in favor and not curse. It's the most amazing, the most exciting message that could ever be given. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What makes 1 Samuel today so amazing is that in one of the darkest moments of Israel's history, when the understanding of God's holiness was gone, we see him so plainly reteaching them the gospel. The gospel's not peculiar to the New Testament. I know that in old school dispensationalism, there was a great divide that was made, that was the dispensation of law, and the assumption was that you were saved by law keeping. That was what some old dispensationalists used to believe. And then we come to this dispensation of grace, and now we're saved by grace. That is not true. The whole Bible is teaching us one great message of salvation by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. And so by the time we're done this week, I hope you'll see how important it is to hold on to this great pearl of comfort in the Christian gospel. Let me set the scene before you here a moment. What you have here in 1 Samuel chapter 6 is one of the worst possible tragedies. Two nations are vying to be the superpower in the region, the Philistines and Israel. They have lined it up for battle. The showdown has come. Didn't go so well in round one. They lost 4,000 soldiers in the battle. So they come up with a different plan. Bring out the Ark of God into the battlefield and we'll win the victory. Now we could read right over that, but that may not seem like such a devastating sin. Dear listener, it was awful. They went back behind not just the holy place, but the most holy place, and they put their hands and their eyes on the Ark of God, which symbolically was the place where God dwelt between the cherubim, the Lord of hosts, and they dragged it right on out into the bloody battlefield and used it as a magic tool to manipulate God and beat the Philistines. Well, the outcome was just a tragedy. The Ark of God had been snatched away by Israel's enemies. And this story would be one that would be told for centuries to come. It was a tragedy unlike anything else in Israel's history. The Ark of God taken, the symbol of God's presence. What humiliation, what shame. From their perspective, God himself fell into exile. He got taken. The glory departed. The glory is in the hands of sinners. The Ark, which symbolized his presence, placed up in the Philistine house of worship as a servant to Dagon. And you see, the Lord preserves what follows in this account, that this would be a huge teaching tool for Israel about deliverance and the great cost of the Lord's presence among them. You ever think about that? You ever thought about what it cost to have access to God? So the Ark goes into the temple of Dagon, knocks it down and breaks off its head and its palms, you know. It leaves it prostrate before the Ark. Dagon is defeated. Dagon has bowed. A god of stone. And this is where we are. Verse 1. Now the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place." Now, what happens here is interesting. They have a kind of great council meeting of all the lords of the Philistines. It's been there 7 months, and that 7 months has not fared so well for them. We don't really know how bad it was, but it comes out here that they had to get the Ark out. The plagues were hitting them so strongly, bubonic plague, so painful, the people were suffering and they were dying. We're going to see that another one of the plagues was rats and mice that had filled the land, probably carrying the bubonic plague. So here they were, plagued. And we come to the end of verse 5, that the cry went up to heaven. These were great and severe plagues. The men of the cities, both small and great, were being killed and struck by them. Now I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if I was a king, if I was a ruler, if I was one of the lords of these cities, and one day I get hit with plagues like this, probably time to send away the ark, huh? Here it sits after 7 months. And finally in verse 1, we're getting the sense they just can't take it anymore. Why so long? Well, verse 6 tells us the issue. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? You know that word for harden or make heavy is the very same word used in the Exodus narrative. What do you have here, dear listener? Here's what you have. The Ark of God, which represented God's presence, is here presented as an exile. It's shocking stuff. We should feel shocked when such a statement is made. The Ark of the presence of the Lord who dwells between the cherubim in the hands of these uncircumcised Philistines. Think of that tragedy. From Israel's perspective, who is in whose hands? God is in the hands of careless sinners. The shame of this whole event, all because Israel had no reverence, all because in complete disregard of God's utter holiness, they thrust his throne of his presence out on the battlefield and it gets stolen right into the hands of Israel's uncircumcised enemies. And you know, this is such an important thing to think about today. Have you ever thought about how tragic this event really is? What does it all display? It displays that in Israel, dear listener, it displays that in Israel, there was no more understanding of God's holiness. It displays they had no knowledge of God. But here's what it ultimately displays. It displays that they had no understanding of how they could stand before this holy God. See, this is your issue today. You have no way in yourself of being in the presence of this God. If this God comes down in his glory and you don't have a covering, you will be totally consumed. You will face the wrath and justice of God because he cannot tolerate one sin in his presence. And here's my fear today. My fear today is that in the Christian church, we're no different than Israel. We've thrust the ark onto the battlefield. We use God. We manipulate God to fulfill our earthly agendas and our earthly dreams. And in doing this, we've forgotten the gospel. We've forgotten how a sinner can be right with God. We can't define it anymore. Dear listeners, the most important question you could ever ask, how are you right with God? And this text is going to unpack for us. It's going to show us this week. There's only one way. You have to have a mediator, a go-between, who has a perfect life, who can cover you with his righteousness and save you from the wrath to come. Dear listener, the only mediator between God and man is the Lord Jesus Christ.
We thank you for tuning in today. As a listener-supported program, we welcome your prayerful and financial support. To find out more about how you can contribute to these broadcasts, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That's www.agradio.org. Many resources are there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.